I want to greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus. What a privilege to come to you live from South Africa to all over the world, preaching the message of God's grace as we enter into 2008. You know, we've reached the end of 2007 and I've got such a great expectation for next year. And I do believe that this message of grace is going to flood the whole world. And we're going to see an exaltation in this world like never before. I believe one thing, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to take over. Amen. Not like a government or something like that, but the whole attitude of Jesus, the characteristics of Jesus, the character of love and mercy and grace is going to just flood this world, and the fruit of the work of the cross is going to be seen in people's lives. Amen. And that's the vision that we have for 2008. I just want to welcome everybody that's just slotted in right now. I believe that you're going to be blessed by this. And your heart is just going to be so established in the message of grace after the session. And I do believe that you're going to enter into this new year only expecting that which is good out of the hand of God. The Bible says, as a man believes in his heart, so is he. So as you can believe that only good awaits you in this next year because of Jesus Christ, and doesn't matter what happened, that the good will prevail and that Jesus will always be there with you, helping you and blessing you, you will find that joy comes into your life, righteousness comes into your life, and peace into your mind. Amen. I would like us just to pray together before I start to share out of the Scripture. Father, I thank you that we can gather together today, all over the world, around just computers, but also around your Spirit, around your Word, around what you have given to us upon the cross. Father, I thank you for your great love. I thank you for your attitude of grace that you've just bestowed upon us. Thank you for your mercy that you've given so liberally. In Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Father. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you speak through me to people all over the world as they come to a place where they can just receive your mercy, where they can just receive your grace, and where they want to know, my God, what can I expect in 2008? I thank that you will use me tonight to speak to them in Jesus' mighty name. And that this message will also be, when it's archived on the website, it will be in this year to come a blessing to thousands that will watch it, giving people hope, giving people stability, giving people dignity and worth, and just that character that's based upon what Jesus has done and not the law. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. You know, I feel so privileged to just sit here and share the gospel of Jesus. It's such an outflow of love that God has just bestowed upon my heart to just tell people about the gospel of Jesus, the good news. And what an honor to have you with me today, to know that I'm not just preaching to an empty camera, but there's people on the other side of computers all over the world watching this today. Amen. God is good and God is only good. Now, the first thing that I want to say about 2008 is written in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. So if you can turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. And another thing, we're going to have communion as we go into the new year. So quickly grab a glass of wine or grape juice, or if you don't have that, just water and a piece of bread. We're just going to have communion, just meditating upon the blood and the body of Jesus Christ as we enter into the new year. So just prepare that quickly. Amen. And in the meantime, I'm turning to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Just find that quickly. Galatians chapter 4. And, you know, so many times people get a wrong idea and a wrong concept about the new year. So many times we think that God has planned certain things for certain years. Like 2007. When 2007 started, we heard so many teachings about 2007 because the number 7 is so prominent and it's God's number, and it consists out of the number 4, which is the number of man, and 3, the number of God, and this is now the year of God and man together. As if 2006 was not the year of God and man together, and 2008 would not be the year of God and man together. And we want to see so many significant things in numbers, and We think that God's only going to reveal certain things in certain times. Now, I do believe that Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, came in the fullness of time. So when Jesus came, everything that was hidden was revealed. Because the Father was revealed, and that was 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. And right now, what the Holy Spirit does is He's just revealing Jesus over and over and over to us, where we can apply what has happened upon the cross in every area of our life. So I've got good news for you today. You might think maybe this is not good news, but it is good news. There's good news for you. 2008 is nothing special. Now you might say, Barry, that doesn't sound like good news. It is good news. Hallelujah. Because if you can think that there must be something special in 2008 because it's 2008, you must also believe that God had something in His character that said, I will hide certain things from people until 2008. Now, I do believe that the reason why God took so long to give Jesus, that the law was for many years, I mean, there was a couple of thousand years where the law was just implemented, where people were just under the law. I believe the reason why God took so long is very simple. It's so that people could see that by their works they cannot be saved. And He gave them enough time so they can see by their works they cannot be saved, so that it would be easy for them to accept the message of grace. That's why. And thank God that we don't live under the old covenant anymore. We live under the new. And we live in the dispensation of grace, which is an everlasting dispensation which will never turn away, which will be there forever. Hallelujah. So the same vision that God had for man the day Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, it is still God's vision for us today in 2008. That was His vision in 2007, 2006, 543, in 2000, in the 1500s, in the 1200s. It's the same vision. Nothing has changed. Amen. When Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, God's vision for man was just the best. And He hasn't hidden some things, and then He's going to decide in a certain year He's going to bless us more than in the previous year. No. God's blessing is to the maximum. It all depends on us if we're going to believe it or not. Amen. God's heart is to see that people hear the message of grace, that people can get saved, that people can get slotted into a place where they can find their identity in Jesus. Amen. That's what God wants, and that is His vision for you in this year to come. To see the fullness of the Godhead bodily manifesting in you. That's God's vision for you. And if you don't get into that this year, you'll get into it next year. If you don't get into it in 2008, it will be in 2009. But that is God's plan for you. The fullness of Christ manifesting in you. Fullness of joy. Fullness of long-suffering. Fullness of peace. Fullness of righteousness. Fullness of the mind of Christ in you. That's God's vision for you. And that's God's vision for the whole world. Amen. You know, I just feel the compassion of God for you as I just preach this. It's just the love of God just in my heart for you. And that's God's love for me as well. I just feel this. God is just at a place where He's just, man, at this moment, like always, He's just experiencing such a love for people. He really does. He cares for you. He wants to see you healed. He wants to see you prosperous. He wants to see you in a love relationship with Him that flows to a place where you just love Him out of the depths of your heart, and where you experience so much of His love that it flows over to your neighbor, to the point that you walk in the highest form of love, which I believe is laying your life down so that other people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's no higher form of love than telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. Now, let's get into Galatians quickly. Now, I think by this time, you might have missed some of this, but you got the bread and the wine. And we quickly go into Galatians chapter 4. And I want to read there from verse 6. Now, let's read from, I don't want to take too much time. Yeah, I think let's read from verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto do you desire to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. So what Paul is writing here, he says, listen, I'm actually scared of you if you come to a place where you observe days and months and years and times. Saying, you know, 2008 to 2012 is a certain time when God's now going to reveal something special. Paul said, when you get to that place, I'm actually afraid of you because you have fallen from grace. You are back into the weak and beggarly things of this world. You know, if you say that God has got something special later on, then you actually say that the sun has already set in the previous day, which was the day of grace. And we're not in the day of grace anymore, and there's a new day coming. And you know, there's actually people preaching that. But it's not the truth. I've got good news for you. The day has just dawned. It's a brand new day. It's the day of grace. And the sun is shining bright and it's never going to set. I mean, in this kingdom, there is light forevermore. The darkness has passed away. The light has come. That light is the message of God's grace. The Bible says that the Word of God is the light of God. It says, and in Him was light, and there was no darkness. And we saw His glory, or His light. And this glory was filled with grace and truth. Truth meaning, no consciousness of sin, but a consciousness of righteousness. Amen. So, I want to tell you that the day, the radiant light of grace, and no consciousness of sin, but a consciousness of the finished work of Jesus, is still as bright as the day when Jesus Christ went and sat down at the right hand of the Father, where He represents you and me. Hallelujah. So if you, man, I feel the joy of God. If you can think of it that way, you will just say, oh my God, there's not this new year with new things. There is a time with only good. And by my faith, and through faith, through being persuaded of what He's done for me, I enter into that fullness, that blessed year that I've always desired from God, that must come mysteriously. I enter into that blessing today by faith. In Jesus' name. And you know what? The faith of Jesus was great enough to produce that time of blessing for you, which is eternal. A time of prosperity, a time of peace, a time of joy, a time of a healthy family life, a time of a healthy marriage, a time of words of wisdom and knowledge and the fullness of God, walking in the love of God. That has already been provided for you by the faith of Jesus. It's not your faith that must produce those things. Your faith just says that the faith of Jesus was big enough to produce all of that for me. And by faith, I believe it has happened by His faith. And I just receive it. It is mine. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's not go back to the weak and beggarly things. And man, I can bet you that in this year to come, you're going to find somebody preaching somewhere or something, saying to somebody, listen, this year is going to be special. And if you do this certain thing before that time and that date, then God's going to bless you. Now, if somebody says that, you know, don't shout him down and all that type of thing. Just know the brother is deceived. Bless him, pray for him, and continue with this message of grace that I preach to you today. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. Amen. That's what sets people free. That's what brings people to a place to know. Man, imagine 2007 was the certain year. And we're getting into 2008. That means 2007 is over and done with. We're not blessed with that blessing anymore. It's all over now. Now we're going into 2008. And what happens if you only live until 2015, then you've, I mean, it was unjust from God to expect certain things from you because He withheld the blessings of 2016 from you, which will empower you, which will enable you to be like Jesus. That all has been given unto us. Amen. And this year, 2008, what I'm going to do from my side is I'm going to get into the message of grace, make sure I get my mind into the message of grace, make sure that I open my heart, that He can work in me both to will and to do, to humble myself by agreeing with every good thing He says about me, by opening my ear that hears the good news all the time, and shutting the ear that hears the message of do's and don'ts all the time. Hallelujah. So I've got good news for you. In 2008, you're going to just get to a place where you experience the vision that God has for man since the day, since the beginning, since before creation of this world. God has got only one plan for man, and that is to recreate him, or to make him in his own image, in God's own image, so that we can experience what it is to feel like God. Not that we will become God. I'm not saying that. But that, I mean, let me explain to you this way. One, I was at Lake Malawi and was so beautiful. And man, it was just the perfect setting. The sun was just setting right. There was no wind. It was so beautiful. I mean, there was not... The lake was like a piece of glass. It was awesome. The temperature was just right. There was a fish eagle just going over the water. It was so beautiful. And I was preaching the gospel. I was about to go to a meeting to preach the gospel. And man, we were seeing signs, wonders and miracles. Everything was just perfect. I was in a love relationship with God. I just felt that awesome relationship from Him. I was sitting there on a rock praying about the service, and I saw all this beauty. And I asked God, I said, God, you know, I see all this beauty. Everything in my dreams are there. We're seeing signs and wonders. We're seeing people hearing the unconditional love of God. But still I feel inside me that there's something missing. And what it was simply this. My family wasn't there with me. And, you know, there's just something empty in having everything and not being able to share it with somebody. And I believe that's why God made us. So that we can experience what it feels to have authority. So that we can experience how it feels to operate from a spirit of love. So that we can know how it feels to have eternal life abiding in us. So that we can feel how it feels to be good and the source of good. Amen. That's what God has got for us. And that's what His plan for you since the beginning. And it's been the same. And then man messed it all up. And you know what? God came in Jesus Christ and He corrected that whole thing. And we are entering into it by faith. And I want to tell you, every year we are awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ bodily. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to experience, when He returns, we're going to experience that resurrected body just manifesting in our lives. Immortality getting, I mean, we will become immortal. We will be like Him. We will live with Him on this planet. We will rule and reign. This whole planet will be made new. Everything will change. Hallelujah. And the most awesome thing is, we sit with this message and this treasure in earthen vessels. Me and you, we know this. If you've never known this, you know it now. I've preached it to you. And we sit with this treasure in our hearts, and this is compelling us to go into 2008 to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ radically. You know, one thing I've heard a man of God said, and it's so true. He said, God said to me, my son, if you don't preach grace radically, you will not see radical change. And that is the truth. In this year to come, I believe it's a time where we can say today, we are laying down this thing that we're going to make excuses for the message of grace. We're making no excuse. We're not standing back for anything that opposes this message. We're going to radically, with the power of God that comes with signs, wonders and miracles, we're going to preach this message of grace, and we will not compromise in any way. We're not going to compromise when it comes to finances. We're going to preach grace when it comes to healing. We're going to preach grace. When somebody lives in front of us and we see his life and he messes up, we will always have room for the message of God's grace when we think of that person. Amen. And so many times we just judge somebody, but in our judgment we don't think, you know, God might just forgive this guy. And I just believe that we, in this year to come, we're going to walk in the message. We're going to preach it radically. And we're going to see that life of God just manifesting all over the world. Amen. Now, in the last 2 weeks, I've been two months, I've been talking about the love of God. And I believe this is the foundation from where I want to talk today when we get into 2008 and what God, I believe God has got for us. And just explaining this whole thing that has been, not just that God has got for 2008, but for the whole time. All is love-based. You're not going to preach the gospel in 2008 with me and me with you. And I'm not going to equip you and serve you with this message of grace because I've got a commandment in Matthew 28:19 that says, you shall go into all the world and preach the gospel. No, I'm not going to do it that way. Because God loves us, we're going to love back. Amen. Because we've received the love of God, His love changed my being into His being. Therefore, we love God. You know, the Bible says in John 14:15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So many times we confuse that with commandments with the Ten Commandments, but that's not the Ten Commandments because that same writer John, in 1 John chapter 3, writes and he says, this is my commandment, that you believe on Jesus Christ. Amen. So what he says is, if you love me, you'll believe on Jesus. So what we do is, we're going to hear the message of grace, and that's what we've done. And in this year to come, this is what's going to happen. I've been preaching this message since 1990, end of 95, 96. I've been preaching this message. But in this year to come, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be in this Word, not studying what I must do for God, but studying what He's done for me so that I can hear His love so much that I will get to the place where I just see this love of God is so awesome. I will just continue to believe in Jesus. And by that, I am keeping His commandment. And He says, he who keeps my commandment, whatever he asks, he receives. Amen. So, we are keeping the commandment. What is His commandment? Believe on Jesus. What must we believe about Jesus? That He became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. That He was rich, He became poor, so I through His poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you, Web Church, we're going to be a church in this year to come that's going to impact the world. And you are part of it. If you like it or not, man, it's like a vortex, this massive wind. It will just suck you in. This great power of God's love will just suck you in. You're just going to be part of this if you want to or not. God's love is just going to enfold you. How do you say no to the message of God's unconditional love? You cannot say no. It will just be there for you. Amen. Now, I want us to... Oh yeah, I was talking about the love of God. Number one, we are opening our hearts to the love of God. That love produces obedience to the... not to the law, but to Jesus Christ, believing on Him. And then that love flows to people. Amen. And I said it this Sunday. If you can go to somebody that's burning in hell today, and you can ask him, what is the greatest deed of love that somebody could ever do to you while you were on earth? You know what he's going to tell you? Is if somebody could just tell me about the message of God's grace. If somebody could just minister the unconditional love to me. If I could just hear of Jesus. Amen. So the greatest act of love is preaching the gospel. Is laying down your life so that others can hear the message of grace. Now, I don't say this as a commandment, thou shalt lay down thy life so that others can hear the gospel. Now, what I'm saying is, man, this year to come, we're going to teach the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles in the lives of Christians. And they're going to say, I'm so loved of God, I will dare to love somebody. I will risk loving too. That's what I will do. Amen. Because of myself receiving this great love. Hallelujah. In this year to come, you can either, man, like I said on Sunday, this is a time when we're going to live the love of God towards the lost. What you can do, you can send a CD to somebody. You can send a link of this website. You can send a link of the Sunday services. You can send something to someone that they can hear the message of grace. You can sponsor ministries of grace. You can sponsor this ministry so that we can preach the gospel. And that's how you are part of this, laying down your life for the spreading of the gospel. Amen. And we're going to do that as a team. And I believe that is what God has got for you. You know, so many times Christians think, one day, I'm going to get to a place where I will be spiritual enough to preach the gospel. Now, I've got news for you. You've arrived. Amen. You've arrived. No, but I don't think so, because I've got this problem and that problem and that problem. You know, you're not preaching in your own name. If you were preaching in your own name, you had to be faultless. Now, I don't say you need to jump onto a stage, but what I'm talking about there is being involved in a place where people can get saved. Being involved in obedience to the unction of the Holy Spirit, which is the love of God towards you, towards people that need the gospel. Amen. This is your time. You don't have to wait for another time. The work of the cross was enough. And I don't think God is such a fool that He will call you to use you if He knows it's not going to work. It's going to work. The Bible says love believes all things. And God is love. And that means God believes all things. That means God believes in you. Not for salvation, but like He believes in you. He knows you can do it. Because He's empowered you with the Holy Spirit. He's given you new life. He's given you righteousness. He's given you the right thing to say at the right time because of the Holy Spirit that's in you. So in this year, man, we're not going to sit back. In my ministry, what we're going to do is, I mean, we're preaching every Sunday, a live broadcast here. We're going to put as much stuff on the internet as what we can. We're going to get on as many radio stations as we can in this year to come. And we're going to see if we can do a gospel crusade every month. At least one a month. Now, I tell you, that is quite a tight schedule. We're going to see how many people we can get to hear this gospel. How many people can hear the message where they can say, I am hearing something that I've never heard before. This is blowing my mind. This is so good. I cannot but take it and just walk with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that is the vision that I've got for this year to come. And I believe that God is working something in your heart as we are preaching now. You're getting an idea. Saying, I want to be part of this, or I want to do something else in my town or in my area. Amen. You can. It's like there's one lady from Russia. She said, what I want to do is I want to start a center where we teach these spiritual things. You know, like a teaching place where we just teach these things, get it from the website, teach it to people. Now, that's a vision from God. If it starts this week or next month, it doesn't matter. It's a vision from God. It might take some time to implement. But, man, something that's going to start. Hallelujah. Other people say, I just send me more of your CDs. Send me more of your messages. I want to distribute it. Bless God. That's a vision that comes from God. Other people might say, we need to translate these messages into other languages. That's a vision from God. That is being part of the kingdom of God, getting people into the message of God's unconditional love. You know, if you translate this message into Tswana or Zulu or some language that I cannot speak and people can hear it and read it, you know what? You've been involved in spreading the gospel in a great way in a place where I couldn't do it. You were used of God. Amen. If there's a gospel crusade coming up and you say, well, I don't want to translate anything, what? But I've got some money. I send it towards Beth and he's going to preach the gospel. Man, we're going to do it. And you've been involved. And this year to come, I believe as a team, we're going to just live the manifest Christ. Amen. It's like, it must be like Jesus walking in this world. You might say, Bertie, you are just aiming too high. And I've just said to myself, I'm tired of looking at things that can keep me back. Why should I always look at things that can keep me back? You know, this one has done that, and that one has done that, and that's why I can't do this. Now, forget everybody and everything that always stops us and always sidetracks our minds, and we meditate for 10 hours on what this guy's done wrong and that guy's done. No, we get that out of our minds. We've placed ourselves, we've positioned ourselves in a place where we can say we don't have these restrictions anymore. We go in this year to come and radically we're going to preach the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's quickly get into... Let me get to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians. And if I want to, I want to talk to you now, and not just the ministry and what we want to do in the ministry, but this is for you. And I was praying and I said, Lord, what do you feel in your heart towards the people? What should I just tell the people? And this is what came to my mind. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now this might sound negative, but I want to explain this to you. The first thing that he says here, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought, now he's talking about the mind, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now let me tell you, in your own works you can never be equal with God. The reason why, and the equality that we stand in when it comes to God, is because He has placed us with Christ in heavenly places, and we reign and rule in His authority. That's why we are with Him and equal with Him. But you will never in your own right, without God living in you, without God lifting you up in Jesus, without being in Jesus, be in equality with God. Now what he says here, he says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't, when he was in the form of God. Now when we are in Christ, we are in the form of God. When we are in our own works, we are in our own form. So in your own form, in your own works, never think that you will be equal with God. But when you are in the form of God, in other words, when you are in Christ, don't think it's robbery. Don't think that you steal something from God in an illegal way or in a wrong way to be called equal with God. So church, I've got this for you today. Don't come to a place where when you say, I am the righteousness of God, I've received the righteousness of God, I've received His sinlessness when I am in Him, and I am in Him. Don't think, well, I'm stealing something from God. You're not stealing anything from God. That is your rightful place. You know, when somebody steals something, let me explain it to you this way. If I catch somebody in the street here, and he just stole a car, and I stop the guy, I get him out of the car, and I tell him, you know what, I forgive you. And the police catches him just after that, and the policeman holds him, they put him in the cells, and they say, you know what, I forgive you, we just forgive you. You know what, he's not forgiven. The law is still against him. There's a punishment that must still come towards him. If the policeman has got no right to say that you are forgiven, the only one with the right to say what must happen to him is the judge. Only when the judge says, you are free to go home, then you are legally free. So the forgiveness of God came on a legal basis. There was a judge, God the Father, that says, these people, they are all guilty. Then Jesus came, He took our guilt upon Him. Then the judge came and He looked at the situation, the judge God the Father. And He says, well, okay, their sins has been paid for now in my Son Jesus. Now, we want to be blessed. Now, the Father cannot bless us with no reason. Then Jesus said, you know what, I became sin for them, but I also obeyed on their behalf. So all the blessings, as if they've obeyed 100% because I obeyed on their behalf, should come their way. And then the Father looks at it and He says, well, I declare them just because of Jesus. So legally, righteously, we have been made righteous and are blessed. It's not just God decided to feel in His heart, you are forgiven. No, we are legally forgiven. Man, that is awesome. So don't think that you steal something from God to say that you are forgiven. It's difficult to say it in these words, but He deserved it. He earned it. That's right. He earned your forgiveness on your behalf. That's what he did. He obeyed the obedience that you had to obey so that you can be blessed. You've got a right to be blessed. You've got a right ordained by God, placed there by God to go into 2008 to say, I'm not going to be a person that say, I'm stealing something from God and I'm just this positive confession type of person and actually God sees my sin, but I'm just going to confess positive to change my mind. No, it's not the way it is. When you say, I am the righteousness of God, you're not stealing anything from God. You are taking what is yours rightfully. Hallelujah. So let this mind, church, be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, listen, when you think, I'm the righteousness of God, I'm the holiness of God, as He is, so am I in this world. Listen, this was also in His mind. But He made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient even unto death, in the death of the cross. And that's why God has also highly exalted Him. So what does God say? He says, listen, let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus. But then let's take that mind, and from that mindset where we say, I'm the righteousness of God. I've got power over sickness. I've got power to help people. I've got power to speak to gain wealth. I've got that power. Use that power to help others. Use that power not to exalt yourself in this world, but you humble yourself saying, I'm going to use the power that I have over sickness and disease, and I'm going to preach it, I'm going to speak it, I'm going to be involved in the gift that God's given me. Maybe it can be advice or whatever. In the gift that God's given me to see this kingdom manifest in the lives of people and in this world. Amen. Humble yourself. Lay down your life. So, man, it might sound difficult, but man, that whole thing comes with the Holy Spirit, with the new birth. Everything comes in one package. Let me just look at the time quickly. Yeah, it is 22. Okay, I just want to read this. I don't want to run out of time. Let's go to John quickly. John chapter 1. And verse 12. It says, but as many as received Jesus, to them gave He the power or the authority or the right to become or to receive the being of the Son of God, even to them that believe on His name. So what He says is, to as many as grabbed a hold of Jesus with a purpose to make use of Jesus, He gave the right to receive the very being of God. And those who receive this being are those who believe on the name of Jesus. So you are a Christian tonight. You are a believer in the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore you've received the being of God. You're not stealing anything from God to say, I've been made righteous or I'm the healed. But you've also received the being of God where Jesus Christ humbled Himself. You've received the humble spirit. You know, it is difficult to go around not helping people. It's difficult going around being stingy. It's difficult going around not wanting to pray for somebody. It's an effort. So let's open our hearts and say, God, in this year, I'm just going to see this message of righteousness flow through my life. Amen. And I want to quickly then read Philippians chapter 3, and then we're going to go over to the communion. Hallelujah. So you can see what I've got in my heart for you. Let me just recap this. In this year is not special because it's 2008. We're living in a special dispensation which is unending. It's the message of God's grace. Remember, the Bible says, faith, hope and love will remain forevermore. Amen. Love, the message of God's love. What is love? It's Jesus manifested. So Jesus manifested. That message is forevermore. Faith is forevermore. And hope is forevermore. Amen. So we'll always, forevermore, have a confident expectation of good. Forevermore, we will have a full persuasion of who Jesus is. That is faith. and forevermore we will have this wonderful gift of we are not living by our own works, but we are standing in Jesus. That is forevermore. Amen. So, what I said in the beginning was, this year is not special because it's 2008. It's special because of the work of the cross. That's why it is as special as the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Amen. And that's how special 2009 will be and 2010 will be. And don't let the devil, through false doctrine, steal away the peace that you can have in this year. Amen. Never envy the people that lived. Never envy the 12 disciples that walked with Jesus. Never do that. They didn't have what you've got today. They didn't have the revelation that you've got today. Paul, God gave this revelation to Paul, then Paul wrote it down and even explained it to the 12 apostles that walked with Jesus. And Paul never even walked with Jesus. Amen. So never envy that. Thank God for what you've got, because what you've got is better. Amen. So, you know, so many times we just think, yeah, you know, blessed are the 12 apostles because they've walked with Jesus. You know, that walk with Jesus didn't change the fact that they could still doubt, still run away when Jesus was crucified and all of those type of things. But once they received the Holy Spirit and what we've got today, this dispensation of grace, once grace was manifested towards them, you know what happened? Then they could do things they couldn't do when they were walking with Jesus. Amen. So we are in a wonderful time now. It is the same blessing that is upon us today that was in the book of Acts. Amen. So that's the thing. There's no special here. Then we look at the love of God. What is the love of God? The love of God is what God has done in Jesus Christ. And that is so much towards us that we will live that towards others in this year to come and in the rest of our lives. Amen. And that is not law-based, commandment-based. That is fruit-based. That's the fruit that's in your life because of Jesus. Right. Philippians chapter 3. And we're reading there from verse 7. It says, "But those things which were gain unto me, I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency or the exaltation that comes through the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win the Anointed One and His anointing," or Christ. Verse 9. "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now that sounds very complicated. Let me explain to you what Paul says. He says, the vision that I have in life and the way I live this life is simple. I don't count the law a great thing. In other words, or law righteousness or works righteousness. I count it but done. He said, I count the fact that I am a Jew but done. The fact that I am born out of the right tribe, I count that but done. I don't say that I have received salvation, I'm of the special nation. I say all of those things and all of that hierarchy thing, all of that genealogy thing, it's just a lot of nonsense. I don't want anything to do with that. And I think that's also a word for you with this whole Israel thing and all of that in this year to come. Please don't waste your time studying those things of Israel and all of that. Israel is special to God. So is South Africa special to God. So is the people in Europe special to God. The Italians are special to God. The Americans are special to God. The Canadians are special to God. The Russians are special to God. The Japanese, the Chinese, we are all special to God. Just in the same way as what the Jews are. Amen. Because the value of a person is determined by what somebody pays for him. And there's just one sacrifice, one price for all of us, and that was Jesus. So there's no nation with a greater value before God than another one. We've all got the same value before God. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Now that is exactly what I believe we need to get into our mind. That's what Paul said. That whole thing that I just mentioned now about genealogy and the right nation, all that. He says, I count that but dung. He says, because I don't want to have this law righteousness. This is what he says. He says, and be found in Jesus, not having my own righteousness. You know, so many people today are found in Jesus with their own righteousness. They say, but I'm a Christian, but they are not found in Christ with the righteousness of God. They are found in Christ, calling themselves in Christ, with their own righteousness. With their own works, with their own things that they think they need to do to qualify to be blessed. Now, in this 2008 to come, I believe this is the vision of Dynamic Love Ministries. This should be your vision as well. I am not going to have anything to do with what Paul calls dung here. All I'm going to do is I'm just going to say, my God, I'm going to be found in Jesus with His righteousness. Amen. That doesn't mean with His good works. That means with a stand that He stands before the Father, I'm going to identify myself 100% with Christ. Amen. I'm going to say I am holy because He lived holy. That's what that means. I'm going to not be found with my own righteousness, but with the righteousness or the righteousness that is of the law. But I'm going to be found through in Christ with a righteousness which is by faith. Let me say that again. Paul says here, and I want to be found in Him. And this is what what I say from the depth of my being for this year to come. We're going to be found in Him, not having our own righteousness. I want everybody to repeat this after me. Say, I am going to be found in Him. Now I want you to verbalize this. Say, I am going to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why do we want this in this year to come? That I may know Him. Because only when you come to a place where you say, I don't stand before God by my works, but I stand before God through the works of Jesus, as He is, so am I. That's when you only start to know God. That's what he says. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let me put it in other words. And the power that takes me from the person that I am today and changes me into who He is when it comes to manifestation in this life. That's the power of His resurrection. To resurrect you out of the death that you are in certain situations in your life and to put you in the very being of God manifested in this world today. That's the path that we're going to walk. That's what we expect in this year to come. To just do this. To be part of this. Amen. Why? That I might even attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. That we can, with the return of the Lord, receive our glorified bodies. Man, isn't that so, so awesome? We're going to go over to the communion. Hallelujah. When we go into this year, we are thinking of Jesus. We're not going to be thinking of what has happened in the past. When we think of this year to come, we are thinking of His body. We are not thinking of our bodies, of our flesh, what we've done in the flesh and what we're going to do in the flesh. When it comes to the communion, we are mindful of Christ. We are mindful of His body. We are mindful of His blood. That's what we are mindful of. When it comes to the communion, it's the place, so many times we think, when it comes to communion, I must be mindful of what I've done wrong and then confess all my sins. That's not the plan, excuse me, of the communion. That's not the plan. The plan is simple. It is, don't be mindful of your sin when it comes to the communion. Because then you are using the communion wrongly. The right way to use the communion is to say, I am mindful of Christ. Let us read it quickly. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that in the that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So when the body is broken, when we break the bread and we eat together tonight, we don't do this in remembrance of ourselves. We are remembering Christ and then we identify with Him. After the same manner, He also took the cup, and when he supped, said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." In other words, when you examine yourself. Am I doing this being mindful of Christ? Or am I doing this being mindful of myself? That's the context here. The context is the people in Corinth came and they had a party. The one got drunk at the communion. And then they were just eating. There were other people hungry. And they never discerned the body. They weren't mindful of Jesus when they did this. They got drunk and had a big party in church. Go and read this. Now what he says is, when we take this communion, when we break the bread, we're going to break this bread being mindful of Jesus. That's what it is. We're going to say, "My God, in this year to come, I can just say one thing. Your body has been broken for me. That is what happened. Amen. Your body was broken for me. Therefore, I can say that I was broken with you. I am mindful of you. What you have done for me in your body. Amen." And when we take the cup, I say, "My God, when I drink of this cup, I say, I'm mindful of what you've done when your blood flowed. What happened when your blood flowed? You washed away my sins. You made me righteous. You've cleansed me. And I'm entering into 2008 with the body of Jesus and what His body means to me in my mind." Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do right now. Amen. I want you to get the bread that you've prepared and the cup, and we're going to eat and drink together. Amen. Now, before we do this, I would like us just to pray together. And just get your mind into this. When you take that bread, you don't think of what you've done wrong or what you've done right or anything like that. There's one thing that you get into your mind. And that this is, His body was broken for me. Therefore, when He received the punishment upon the cross, I was punished in Him. Hallelujah. That's it. So, let us just pray together before we're going to eat and drink at the Lord's table. Father, I want to thank You that we can enter into 2008 in such a holy way, in such a righteous way, Jesus and not the law. Thank You for Your body, Jesus, that was broken. Thank You for people all over the world that partakes today in Your body and Your blood. What an awesome thing, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. And as we take this, I speak the blessing of God. Your blessing, my Father, over every person that listens to my voice. I say His body was broken for you. His blood has flowed for you. You've been made righteous. This is the year where you can just see an overflow because of everything as I've explained it today. You are the blessed of God. You are the righteous. You are victorious. You are approved of God. And He will approve you until the day Jesus comes. And you will stand righteous and sinless before Jesus because of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. In this year, we're going to reach millions in Jesus' name. In this year, we're going to just walk in abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to take the bread. And as you break the bread, I want to just say these words. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it and says, "This is my body, broken for you. Take of it, and when you eat, do it in remembrance of me." Amen. I want you to break the bread and let's eat of that in remembrance of Jesus. If you've got anything in your heart, just say it to God this moment. You want to just thank God. Maybe sit there with your wife or your children or something. Somebody, just thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Bless God. Amen. And after that, he took the cup and he drank of it and said, "This is my blood that was shed for you." Amen. "This is my blood shed for you. And in this blood is the New Testament." This is the blood of the New Testament. Thank God that old covenant of death is gone forevermore, never to return. Doesn't matter how, what preacher, who, what person fight for it, it is gone. This is the blood of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as you drink of this blood, we do this in remembrance of the fact that our sins are forgiven. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. If you've got anything in your heart to thank God for, you can just thank Him right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for who you are, for the plan that you have for man in Jesus Christ. And as we enter this new year, as we hear the fireworks everywhere in a minute or two from now, I thank you, my God, that we can know that we are entering into this year with Jesus. We are entering into this year being mindful of the body and the blood. And all that we're going to do this whole year is just be mindful of the body and the blood. The body and the blood. We're going to apply this body when it comes to sickness and disease and our finances and our relationship with people, the church, the preaching of the gospel, the lost. We're going to apply this blood, my God, when it comes for this whole year, when it comes to people and relating to people and their sins and our sin and our righteousness and all of that. Thank you, my Father. Amen and amen. Well, I want to thank you that you've listened to this broadcast. We're going to play out with a song that's just going to bless you so much. The service is not over until the song is over. So you listen to this and just meditate upon this. This is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard by the Gator Group. It's just awesome. Maybe it's not your style of music. It doesn't matter. It is such an anointed song. It just sums the whole thing up of God loving us and then this love flowing out to others in this year to come. Thank you and God bless you.